Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I am your host, Calvin Ward, and I will be bringing you some of the best spiritually motivated discussions, interviews, and debates that you have ever heard. So what I want you to do right now is sit back, tune in, invite a friend. And remember, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Thanks for listening.
Greetings, everybody. This is Calvin Ward, and I want to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast on tonight. And on tonight, we have Jamie Boston. We have Serena Hamble, who is back. This is one of our last sessions here, talking about the topic of prophetic worship and prophecy, or the prophetic and music. So I want you to sit back, relax, and invite a friend. Call in 563-999-3721. That is the number. And thanks for listening. We will be back right after this.
Right.
Guys, I want to thank you for tuning in to the show on tonight. And we are closing up with a few sessions that we've had in the past few weeks. And on tonight's show, we have Jamie Boston and Sharima Hannibal is back with us. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to play you a quick power nugget by Miss Vanda Warmack. This is known as Queen Vanda. This is Vanda Warmack. She does her power nuggets. And so we're going to hear a power nugget from Vanda Warmack. And when we come back, we're going to go right into the show talking about the prophetic and music. I'm talking about the prophetic and dance. Again, the prophetic and music and the prophetic and dance. We'll be right back.
Here is another power nugget. Did you know that we are spiritual resuscitators? Yes, spiritual resuscitators. We have the power and the ability to bring things and persons back to life. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man, a mind, be overtaken in a fault, a sin, a misdeed, a trespass, we who are spiritual, one who is filled and governed by the Holy Ghost, restores, mends, strengthens such a one with a spirit of meekness and gentleness and mildness. But be careful unless we fall into the same temptation."
Guys, we are back. We are back. We are back. That was Queen Vanda and a power nugget from Queen Vanda. She is the CEO of ePastors Network. So check that out when you get a chance. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. Tonight, we're talking about the prophetic in music and in the dance. And we have with us Prophet Jamie Boston from Racine, Wisconsin, and Sharima Hannibal, prophetic psalmist and musician from Lake County, Illinois. The number is 563-999-3721. Call in for prayer or comment, and thank you for listening. Awesome. So, ladies, women of God, you guys are on. How are you guys doing today?
Well, I am extremely blessed.
Amen.
How are you? Yes.
I'm doing good, good. So, Prophetess Boston, I know y'all know each other, Prophetess Boston. This is Sharima. Sharima.
Yes.
This is Prophetess Boston. Don't y'all know each other? How do y'all know each other?
We know each other. You know. Naturally and in the spirit.
Amen.
And you know, I have to share this. What I love about Prophetess Boston is the first time I met her, actually I felt the anointing, the wind of God, rush past me at a conference. So I'm at the keys and I'm playing the song, Let the Praise Begin, and the praise and worship team is singing. And out of nowhere, it was like I felt this wind. And I looked, I'm like, okay, that's some anointing that just flew past me. I didn't see her face. But I was like, wow. You know, because when you're anointed like that, you can feel when somebody's anointed. You can feel that because, you know, it's y'all know what I mean. I can't put it all, describe it all in words.
Oh, no, it's young.
Who was that? Yeah. And I looked around, and I kept looking, and I'm trying to remember to play how to. I was like, "Shreema, focus on the song. You got to play the music now." But I felt the wind of God. I said, "What is that? Who is that?" And then I looked, and I saw her way over in the corner, and I could just see the glory around her. And I said, "That woman is anointed," and she was leaping up in the air. And I'm like, "I need to see her at every church service that I have to play at or be at." Because you could feel it. You know what I'm saying? Being that contagious worshiper and the anointing, you can feel the healing that was coming forth. And as the way she moved, it was just so awesome. So I have to share that. I know I've never told you that, but you need to know that was probably, that had to be like 04, 05, somewhere in
my
there.
God.
around in those days, and I still remember it. Yeah, I still remember it just like it was yesterday, because I felt, I said, who was that? And that's literally, I'm at the keys like, who was that? Because I could feel it, you know. So I'm telling you, just amazing. I just thank God for the anointing on your life and how you bring healing through dance and song to people. It's just awesome.
And I thank God for you saying that.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, you got the mic. Go ahead. Just be having a discussion. Go ahead.
I thank God for that. And when you said that, I actually remembered, you know, that specific incident or that time, because there was a leaping in the spirit that was being done. So not only, you know, you felt me, but I felt you. The Holy Ghost was doing something, you know, at that particular moment and opening up portals for other individuals. And thank God, you know what I'm saying, when individuals work together, that's why the praise and worship and the prophetic dance or the praise and worship dance, it's important that those individuals are in tune with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, so that things will happen that will change lives. So healing, deliverance, you know, and individuals can be set free. You know, it's not about them. And that's why, you know, I appreciate and respect the anointing and the power on your life, because it demands authority. And so when individuals are working together, when they're touching and agreeing, nothing else can come forth but what God expects. The people
Amen.
What they came for. So I'm excited about this car.
Me too.
Well, this is what's up, and this is one of the reasons, and I can tell both of y'all, I respect both of y'all. There's a, you know, I respect both of y'all because I'm somebody that goes hard. I haven't been through enough hell. So I go hard in my gift and in ministry. There was a little statement when I was running a boot camp. We were doing a boot camp in when I was in Zion, Illinois, but one of the things was go, we had a t-shirt that said go hard or go home. And so you can say that's like a life mantra for me. Go hard or go home. We don't have time for that. So when you're around people whose effort is less than go hard or go home, it can get frustrating. And so both of y'all go hard in your gifts. You can tell go hard in the anointing, because people need to be healed and delivered. And so the way that needs to happen is when people go hard in their anointing, as if that might be your last time playing the keyboard. That could be your last time dancing. I said, I'm going to preach like it's my last time up in here. I'm going to preach and go all in. Lavish your gift on the body. Don't be holding back because our gift is worship. We're supposed to lavish our gift, and both of you do that. I know, and I've seen it, so it's a powerful thing. And I think, Janie, you hit on that. So, Janie, talk to us. I know you're going to be here for a little bit, but can you, we got Sharima's background. I want to tap into a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about you personally, and you can transition that into ministry. Tell us, where did you grow up? What did you do? When you go to school? And how did you get saved?
Aha, that's the question. Because I didn't start off saved, you know, I started off in church, but, you know, I was trained to go to church, but we weren't trained to have a relationship with God. And that's no fault of anyone, you know, and the church that I came up in, because, you know, the environment I came up in gave me structure, you know, and it gave me, you know, the ability to, you know, have some patterns that were important. But as far as having a relationship with God, I didn't get that until I was in my mid-30s. But I didn't understand that fully until I got into my 40s, the importance of having a relationship. So I didn't realize I was called to dance. I didn't realize that it was important to, you know, anything that you were called to do. You know, it was necessary to have a relationship with God. Like I said, grew up in the choir, but I also grew up smoking, drinking, and doing things that were, you know, they were okay at that period of time in my life. But when I had my first encounter in my late 30s, you know, as it relates to God, I decided, okay, there's got to be something else that I'm missing. I wasn't, you know, I thought I was happy, but I had no joy. You know, I wasn't fulfilled. I was in a relationship. You know, my husband and I have been together for, you know, over 35 years. And we were in a relationship, but we didn't know that we were not, you know, we weren't covered. We weren't, you know, there was no joy. We were just going through life thinking that that was enough. And when I realized that that was not enough, stop smoking, stop getting high, you know, God had, I had an interaction that was, you know, unexplainable. I later found a Church Reconciliation Ministries. My brother was there. He was the musician there at the time. And, you know, I began to experience, you know, sounds and, you know, music in a different way that made me feel different from when I was in the club. And those movements became prophetic. They began to not only speak to me, but the individuals that I, you know, was in front of. And then God began to tell me through the pastor and my mother that, okay, you have a gift in this. I rejected it for a long time, for, you know, several years, before I just decided to obey. And when I decided to obey, that's when God began to bless. But understanding the totality of the gift that he had given me, it just occurred over the last few years, the purpose behind the movement.
Oh, wow. The purpose behind the movement.
Yeah. God was blessing the obedience, but the purpose behind the movement became real.
So how did you so that is your beginning there. How did you transition this into ministry and into the dance? Because I want people to know, I've been in churches and places, you know, so people that are listening or will hear this, this is not just somebody that, you know, Jamie is not just somebody and you know, that decided, hey, you know, the pastor came up and said, we want a dance ministry. Can you just do a little something? And just give us something. You know, in churches, you know, pastors say, we want this, we want that. But she has a dance ministry that the anointing is actually there. You feel the power of the anointing is there in the dance, in the motion. This is not just something cute for Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. Are we just going to put on a presentation? See, the prophetess as well. You know what I'm saying? So, Jamie, so now that you... now that you have this trance... Go ahead.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to you, and it's so interesting that I've always been a person, although I was out in the world, but I've always obeyed authority. And, you know, although I rejected it, I only did it because I was told to, that I needed to help. And in the midst of, you know, me obeying and doing, years later, began to speak to me and say, you know, because their manifestations started coming forth. You know, it wasn't just, you know, this is a good feeling. He began to interpret, like, these steps, you know, when you perform or minister or wave your hands, you're causing the power of God, the anointing, the wave of his glory. He began to interpret movement for me. And, you know, individuals, you know, some have a prophetic gift to speak and prophesy with voice. And he told me that you would do it through movement. And, you know, years later that became, and then music became to, you know, started to accompany it. You know, I strongly believe that the song will, you know, plant, and the dance movement will water, and God brings the increase. You know, it just works hand in hand. He began to just give me clarity and clarify and just start showing me that it made a difference. And when I started believing that, then the authority came. You know, that took some time. So the authority came, and then I believe that we had the power to actually change things and make an atmosphere conducive for his healing and deliverance. And then I began to train.
Oh, you begin to train? No, go ahead, continue.
Then I begin to train, you know, other dancers, because God began to tell me, you know, that there has to be fruit in this thing, and it can't just be, you know, he says, you know, you can't keep it to yourself. So the more that you give out, the more mm-hmm. that you sow, the more I'm going to give you. And that's when he began to just open up my eyes to more creativity than the writing, the productions, you know. And not being afraid. So many leaders, we become afraid that if we give, that we won't be important. And for years, I thought, you know what, give this out, then I won't be necessary any longer. And God,
I have to ask a question, because that's why we're having this. So you hit a nugget, and I want y'all, because I think mm-hmm. Sharina hit this nugget when we were talking about, I think Sharina hit the nugget in the discussion when she said it was a situation where a musician was asked if they could teach, and they said they just play, they don't teach. So what you just mentioned there was so powerful, because you said so many leaders feel as so mm-hmm. many leaders don't give. Now, you said they don't give out, but I'll venture to say that you are also saying they don't train, they don't reproduce themselves or multiply mm-hmm. themselves and other people, because they feel that they would be of no use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mm-hmm. personally went through that. And, excuse me, it wasn't, you know, I'm going to go back a little ways. You asked me how was In the Dance Cafe created, the organization that, you know, God has allowed me to oversee. That ended up being birthed out of me wanting to share some information that I knew the Lord had released to produce a specific performance. And, you know, it was rejected at the time. And the Lord told me that it still needed to go forth. It still had to happen. And now I know it was for more reasons than just, you know, that particular season. You know, my brother, who was no longer in the earth, he wrote pieces of that performance. We collaborated. He did the music and the song, and I did the interpretation of the Bible with the dance. And, you know, and before he passed away, that came forth. So, again, in the obedience, you know, me thinking it had to do with someone else and the enemy using someone else to reject me. So many times we get caught up in someone else's no, that we don't really hear God is really making it a yes, but it's in his time and his season. And that's how we begin to miss out, or we waddle in our hurt and our pain, and then we don't grow, we don't reproduce. So it goes into, you know, then that harvest is not coming forth. There's just so many things. Whew, that you opening up right now, Jesus.
But that's what this is for, because
that's it.
Because this is powerful, especially with music, and especially with these ministry gifts, or as some people label or say, we're creators. You know, a lot of times in ministry, mm-hmm. just like you said, I think you mentioned something else too. Here's my question to you. Do you think you would have what you have had you not obeyed your pastor, who initially said, I want you to do this, or can you do this? Because you mentioned this earlier, that it was obedience, you know, because that starts a lot. It was obedience. They said, look, they might have said, mm-hmm. we need a dance ministry, or we would like to start one, and we see something, and you started it, but you grew with it and let God birth it out. So do you think you would have the mm-hmm. fruit of what you have right now had you not obeyed or been fully engaged in obedience? Not just doing what, you know, the pastor asked you to do, but actually being engaged for real with it. What do you think you'd be where you are with?
You hit the word, fully engaged. I believe the gift was always there. And, you know, simply hearing that if you believe the prophet, you know, we adhere to
prosper.
Because you mm-hmm. don't necessarily have to be a prophet to prophesy. You don't necessarily have to be an ordained prophet to give the word, you know what I'm saying, of the Lord.
Right.
And at that particular time, I didn't understand that, but I do believe the gift was there, but I believe the fullness of the manifestation came because I obeyed.
Obedience. obedience. Mm-hmm. Obedience. Mm-hmm. Something else too.
Obedience.
Something else too. You don't have to prophesy.
Fear. Come on.
Yeah. Because that's another powerful point in that too. That people hear that you don't have to be an ordained prophet or somebody to prophesy. And one of my pet peeves, I'm going to tell you something, you know, for both y'all and Shurima, one of my pet peeves, Janie and Shurima, is being as strong in the prophetic that I am and being in the service and feeling the prophetic hit the house and looking at a disobedient pastor or an insensitive pastor who hops, skips, and jumps over it, or being in a service and the worship is going up. Now, they got their little repertoire, and they're going to sing their two or three songs. But will something happen in song number two? And so in song number two, song hit the house. And so instead of going with God, we go with our agenda. Or being in a presentation and saying, oh, we're going to have the dance team come up. And you know, so people do what they do, and we got this speaker we brought in, but the dance team comes up, and, you know, they're supposed to do one or two, you know, dances to a selection, but some have it in the first song, and some a wind came in, something happened, and to be in these services, and to know that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, but this is why mm-hmm. we're here. Mm-hmm. We're here for him to enter the room. But when he enters the room, we sit him down and continue on with our program. And so that's one of the things with the prophetic. And I'm saying that because I've seen it happen with dance ministries. I've seen it happen in multiple mm-hmm. ministries, in dance ministries. And I've seen it happen so many times in the music ministry. You know, because you can mm-hmm. prophesy on the instrument. And you can prophesy, like you said, in motion and in dance, and you don't have to be ordained to do so.
You know, when an atmosphere becomes prophetic, and if someone willing to be used, God will use them
mm-hmm.
however mm-hmm. he sees
fit. Absolutely.
You know, and Prophetess Shurima, I know that you're aware of this as well. When the Holy Ghost moves, you may have planned a song, but when mm-hmm. God is shifting, you have to know when it's time to shift. And, you know, I've also, some pastors have been in environments and I was like, okay, well, oh my God, don't they feel this shift? Jesus, what is happening here? And God has told me, don't move. I'm going to do it. And he showed me individuals that were going to be wounded if the house shifted that way. It was for mm-hmm. one specific person he wanted. I said, well, Lord, have mercy. Okay. So it can go either way. Individuals just have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and not moving before God's timing. Because, that blood will be evident and it'll be on your hand. So.
Right. And I do know times, I remember I think I said this story before. I've been in places where it was just a conference going on and I came in. I remember one in particular, it was in Kentucky, and it was a speaker that the church, that ministry had brought in for their conference. I wasn't attending their ministry, but I came to support the event. And I came in a little bit late and I was in the back and I just slid in and sat my, you know, behind down and said, praise the Lord. And so the lady that was ministering, and she was ministering, and they transitioned into prayer. And I said, God, I have a word for her. But I said, you know what? I'm going to stay right here. And if you want me to release it, open up the door. Tell me it wasn't 5 minutes later. She said, come on, man in the back. Yes, you right there. Can you come down? And she had to give me a word. So when she finished, I said, can I give you this word? Because I was holding this. And then prophesied to the lady. She's the main speaker. She's laid out on the floor. And I just walked back to my seat. Because they didn't know what to do with the service because the main speaker is laid out on the floor. And so she's out. So I just went, and then, you know, some folks looking at me like, you're going to come up in here late and they're going to come up in here, get called out for prayer, and then go mess up the service. And now our speaker, you know, people was they were looking at me. I could feel the looks and I could see some of them. But, you know, you can ask God to open up a door. But so what's up with the prophetic, Janie? You're so what? How do you, what's up with the, because you're ordained as a prophet. So the ministry and the dance, we're trans, and I'm going to go here and then I'm going to just open up the floor. So you transition, you are a prophet, but you also do prophetic dance. So prophetic dance is prophetic in nature, what you guys do. How do you drive the two? Do you think as a prophet, as a ordained prophet, somebody that understands the prophetic, that that places you in a position to be able to, now that God has given you overseership of something, you are now able to, as a prophet, you understand the prophetic and the word and the mm-hmm. prophetic of God. You can now teach that and use that to administer and oversee what he's given you, and also teach, you know, to your teams. Or how did you come into the prophetic
Look, I know you like my mother. She forget my name every now and then, too. That's okay.
no, I was going to say, but, I know I don't like to use office. I was like, because I'm
okay.
Like, prophetic office. I was like, when you came into, and I was like, I don't know, administration, operation. I think I'm going to start turning them and saying operations, because I never like the word office. It just makes it seem
it's
as
interesting.
If, you know,
that
I just don't
office.
Like that term. In the last few years, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't like using that term office of this, and I don't. So that operation, because we're nobody.
Mm-hmm,
we're just
mm-hmm, right. Well,
we're just medicine. Go ahead.
I'm just saying it's interesting that you say that, because for a long time, a lot of people didn't realize that I was an ordained, you know, prophet and or prophetess. And it's not something that I've shared. So when I saw this flyer, I said, oh, here he goes.
Yes. She said, when I saw this fire, here we go.
But what happens is, I really believe that God does things in seasons, and you know, and in his timing, you know, not necessarily our timing, but in his timing, you know, you become mature and you begin to, you know, use things as God leads you. You know, you'll begin to hear, you'll be more in tune with the Spirit. And so, you know, because we were all ordained
right.
at the same time.
Mm.
So I've just started using, you know what I'm saying, walking in the prophetic gift this last year. And God has had me in, while he was elevating my ear and fine-tuning my ear, you know, in the dance, he's been doing it to train the dancers to also hear and to speak prophetically. So we not only practice, or they're not only in training with steps or in motion, they are being trained as well to hear God, because I don't believe that in this era or in this season of dance, as a prophetic dancer, that you will be able to hit and not miss if you don't have, or your other gift is not sharpened. And so the men, the children, the women, the boys, the girls, we come in here, we have, you know, several different practices, but we also take the time, and we work with musicians as well now, and we partner and collaborate. And
That's awesome.
So the music plays, we pray, and we intercede for one another. We lay hands and we ask, and they're trained to, you know, what they hear and how to put it in motion, and then how the dance, you know, works hand in hand. You know, some rehearsals we may end up prophesying, or if we have individuals that come in and visit, you know, God will give a word, and then they interpret it also with the dance. So God has brought me, you know, all I believe in the season, he's called me to be a midwife, and it's to help birth their creativity. It's not just their dance, but the creative measures that are within their belly, whatever it is. Everyone has a piece of creativity inside of them. So.
And you know what? I have to mention someone's name to both of you, and especially to you, Providence Boston, because you need to look her up. Her name is she's Apostle Elizabeth Harrison. I don't know if you heard that name before, Apostle Elizabeth Harrison. And I'm going to tell you why. So when I came to Albuquerque, funny story, and I was just reminded of this because the name just popped into my spirit. And I said, wow, I need to connect Jane. She's an older version of you. if I could say that, but she reminds me of you. You know, she's an apostle in the ministry, mm-hmm. and I'm going to tell you why. When I got to the area, I went to visit the minister, and they were having service. And so she's in the dance. She is, I believe, she's older than all of us. So put it like that.
And
in her season, she moves in the prophetic dance. And she goes and she moves in the prophetic dance, and that's how she prophesies. So when I visited, watch this, because not a whole lot of people have their capability, and I've just been places. It's just what it is. I'm nobody great. But I've noticed when I go places, people just hop, skip, and jump. When you got people trying to give you a prophetic word, you notice when you got some word, when the word in your belly is high, it's all of a sudden the prophetic words coming to you through people gets low. So you sit in services and you hardly get a prophetic word. So when I visited here, she said, "Can I prophesy to you?" I said, "Sure." So she sat me at a table and they played a song and she began to dance. And she began to wave her hands and wave them around my head and just dance and just minister in motion and prophesy. Mm. And she prophesied, and it was powerful and it was accurate, and the anointing came in. And so that was just something that I had experienced, but she's another woman of God operating in that. And you and her would be best friends. Y'all would be best friends. y'all would just be best friends. I need to connect with her, but I'm going to send you some information. But Elizabeth Harrison.
Yes.
And that was my introduction to her. I'm not all buddy-buddy, but that was my introduction to her. And I think that does that's a good connection. Because when you talk about prophesying in motion and movement, she does it. She's traveled the world, and she does it. And she's here in the Southwest in the city in the area I'm in. So I just wanted to say that. So now I'm going to open up the floor for the discussion for y'all. Because now I want to know how important is it, and I know how important is it now I'm about to go eat. How important is it, for the music ministry or for the ministries in a conference setting, let's say that, well, a church setting and a conference setting, how important is it for the music ministry or for all the arts to be together in one accord in a church or in a conference? And the reason I'm asking that is because I've been to conferences and been asked to do things, and I look over and I'm like, okay, this joker over here sitting on the key, he off, his spirit off, how he gonna play worship? And then this one over here is jacked up, how you gonna get up here and open up in prayer? And I'm like, okay, God, so I got to go in because I have to deliver a level of anointing to deal with all of that foolishness before I get up to do something. So I'm over here interceding while the worship going on. I'm over here interceding and praying because everybody got their hands lifted up, and I'm over here praying that spirits don't have influence and stuff is not transferring. So how key is it? Because I've been in conferences where you got a dance ministry, and the dance ministry may have been anointed, but the music ministry was not. You were like, thank you, Jesus, somebody got the anointing, or vice versa. You know, the somebody bring up a dance ministry, but then you're like, where's the praise and worship team? Because they had not a drop of sweet and low. They had nothing in their spirit, in their belly. You'd be like, where is the anointing? You'd be like, where is the anointing? And you know, so how key is that? I don't know if y'all experienced that, so I'm sharing my experiences and conferences and things, and you know, been in the musician position. Not at a high level, but I can do a little bit. But when you're in these positions, how key is it that, especially in a church service or you go to a conference, that the music ministry and dance ministry, and then I'm using those two because that's what we have here, are in sync, the music, are in sync with each other, you know, in accordance with the theme or in accordance with the speak. How important is that?
Very important.
Yes, absolutely. One cannot work without the other. That's how I feel about it. And I mean, I'm sorry, Prophetess. I just, when he said that, it just brought back just different churches that I played for since leaving college or while I was in college and moving back home. And what I find out sometimes is that like you said, Prophet, you got the praise and worship team doing one thing, you got the dancers doing the one thing. A lot of times, and this is just my experience as a musician, sometimes the leadership have not made it clearly as the vision for what the conference is about or the vision for that particular atmosphere. And so then that's why you have the praise and worship doing one thing, you got the dancers doing one thing. And so there's just fail to communicate across the board or coming together and saying, this is the vision, we all are going to come together and we do this. So what happens is that when people come in and they want to be in the conference, they want to get healed, delivered, set free, what happens is they see the division in, you know, the praise and worship doing one thing, and they see the dancers doing another, and then the leadership is doing something else. And so then what happens is then you have a combative atmosphere. It's like, y'all come on and worship. It's like, well, we're trying to figure out what we're doing. And so then you have all of that confusion going on.
Yes,
and so then everybody are literally, you know how you feel like, okay, I'm over in the corner scratching my head, because that's what happens. And so then the focus is now taken off God, and it's on people and doing what the people want and not being pleasing to him. And therefore, nobody can't get a breakthrough. God can't come in and arrest the plague, the atmosphere. No miracle signs and wonders are happening because all the focus is on, we got to do this because, oh, this is not right. And then as what we do as people, as human, okay, well, we need God to show up, so let me start tweaking in. So then it's all self. And so then definitely God like, okay, well, I was going to try to come by, but I can't come by because y'all doing this right now. So let me go about my way and go to somebody else. And that's what happened. And so that's why it's so key that we all be on one accord. I just love what Papa just said. She said that they come together as the dancers, the singers, and the musicians. That is so key. That is in the flow in the house
the
way it needs to happen. You know, that's it. That's the true Levites. That's the true Levitical worship. That's it right there. And so I think a lot of times is that you have some leaders that will speak upon it, but sometimes they don't want to go into it for whatever reasons they have. You know, I know one place I played for, it was away from here. The pastor didn't want to go into that because he just wanted to speak on what he wanted to speak on. It was like, okay, well, you doing music, that's what you do. The dancers do this, that's what they do. And I'm like, but we still don't have a direction in the house. So then everybody paying attention to the clothes, everybody paying attention, stuff that's unnecessary. Nobody is paying attention to God and what God is wanting to do for that house. And so you have people that's leaving their malnourished. They're not getting any food. They're not getting any meat. You know, that's the children is acting crazy, the adults, I mean, everything, you name it, is going on in there. And so that's what happened. So I'm sorry, I just had to speak on just what I've been through.
No, but, that's what this is for.
Because,
that's what this is for. Go ahead.
And, you know, that is so true, what you said. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the individuals that God has given, you know, they don't consider post to produce this. So a lot of times they don't get the fullness of, you know what I'm saying, what's supposed to happen. They don't get clarity themselves, and so they can't give clarity. And then they count on the individuals that are partaking in the, you know, the musicians, the singers, the dancers, to just get it and come together, and it doesn't work that way. You know, it's like
that's
you said, you have to be on one accord. But then let's take it somewhere else, Prophet Ward. When you come in as a prophetic ear and eye and an intercessor, sometimes that may just be your assignment to go in there and pray and demand and
that's
shift.
Amen.
So that, again, everybody fall in line. So then they have no choice. Individuals become subject to the Holy Ghost. And so then everything will fall in line and everyone will get what they need before they leave. Got it.
You
know, so it's you know, it can go or take so many different directions as long as individuals come in and know really what their place is in the kingdom.
And see, and it goes back to that humility of the prophet. It's funny, I'm sitting here I'm actually it's going to be my second book, but it really was the first book, and I'm going back to finishing it. But last night I started the chapter on the prophet. It's called The School of the Prophets, because I have an issue with that. But anyway, I get into there, and I started talking about that.
He tickles me when he say that.
But yeah. You know, but it goes back because what Prophet James was saying, it all goes back to the humility of the prophet. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
If I need you to be an intercessor today with your great self, then you're going to sit in that mm-hmm. chair and you're going to intercede and pray. If I need you to release mm-hmm. the word, I'll open up a door.
Mm-hmm.
Or if something, mm-hmm. and we know we've been in environments, you just got rebellious, trifling, hellions, witchcraft, straw. It's just, you know, and you know when it's in the house. And see, when I come in and I see and I feel that, or I pick it up, or I see it, I immediately, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, God, now you've been told me that they invited me up in here. And, you know, you go somewhere and you just sit down and you just pray. Because it's somebody else mm-hmm. that's not going to get a breakthrough, but you're the one with the anointing and the calling to be able to withstand mm-hmm. that foolishness. And so sometimes it's the one that has the ability to do it. But what I heard and what you were saying was humility, though. Because as prophets, mm-hmm. you could be the musician. Like for me, I'm a musician. I'm not the musician. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no, I've been in places there was no keyboards. The pastor needed something to flow with. Not a problem. I got on the keyboard and go.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in areas they don't have a praise
team.
Right. Not a problem. And you know what, Shereem? I was at a
you got up there and sang your song.
And you said, you singing, keep or listen. And you know, I was like, keyboarders, why they got me doing the keyboard? You want me to do the praise the worship? You know what I did? I found three or four songs. I learned how to play them. Put all of those jokers in the same key. Use some transition chords from one song to the next, because it won't about me trying to hit every note. The goal was
that
the praise team can worship and that the people can
play.
I'm not, so I put them jokers in the same key, E flat, a D flat. I like D flat, and just transition them jokers right into the next one and kept it moving. So we're going to do, and you know, and God moved. But it's not about, you know, we don't put our personality. Our personality is in it, but our ego, we put. Our flesh gets in the way sometimes.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Bottom line,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time, all the time, when your flesh is in the way, God doesn't move. And so,
that's
you know,
right.
I've been in situations where, you know what, we were not on one accord, and I'm like, okay, let me just stop and listen. God, what are you trying to do? So, you know what, I hear the music going one way, I tell the dancers, let's stop, let's figure out, let's regroup, and let's begin to partner with what God gave them. And I always say God gave them, because I'm not going to show anyone on my team that I'm in, you know, some type of, you know, disagreement with what's going on. Whether I'm in agreement with it or not, I never display that I'm not. And so
mm-hmm.
anybody starts to unify, God's going to come in. So it's up to the leaders, you know, or those that have charge over to just do their best to comply and to partner with the other individuals that are in charge so that God can have his way. Because we already know, you know, their strength. God will begin to move.
That's humility.
He will begin to move. That's the humility. It's not about me doing. And you know what, making sure I get it in, it's about God having his way so that healing, deliverance, breakthrough, freedom can come into the place.
You know, what was that last statement?
That takes sacrifice, you know? Sacrificing your own bottom line.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time to shout. So I'm gonna play shout music, but there, you know, but the pastor or the leader or the speaker want to transition into a worshipful mode. I've seen some stuff in churches. I know y'all have seen it too, because we're talking as experts here. So people that are listening, this is almost like an expert panel. Because I know for every story I got, I know y'all got one. And I know we've been doing this for a little bit, but I done seen some foolishness. I've been in services
mm-hmm.
where the keyboardist was there was an actual spiritual tussle between the keyboardist and the speaker. The speaker is ready to shout or ready to close. And then the musician is like, I ain't going to do all that. They just over there quiet, ain't doing nothing. Or the speaker is still in the middle of the sermon, and they over there hitting A flat. They over there hitting licks. And I'm like, what is going on? Can he preach? I was in one service. Yeah. Like, he hit that keyboard. I'm going to unplug it myself. Hit another chord. I was like, he ain't finished the sermon yet. Can he preach? And they just over there licking their hands. You said what?
That's a test for someone like yourself, because you're a millennial, you know what I'm saying? Your background, your natural and your spiritual characteristics, you know what I'm saying? It does not want to allow disobedience and rebellion. And so much of the creative world is so used to either being pushed aside or set aside or not heard. So a lot of times, it's their inner wound that causes them to react that way or
outward
out. So Jesus, those of us that are seasoned, it's our responsibility right now to make sure we are not allowing them to reproduce themselves, but to get what they need so they can get that inner healing and allow them to use the creativity to clean their own self up. You know what I'm saying? So it's really good when you know an individual is hurting. You know what? Let's do this. Let's write a song about that. Let's do it. What is affecting you right now, Tiffany, about it? And let's tell the side that doesn't work, and let's tell where you want to go. Let's use the creativity like that.
That's therapeutic. And that's therapeutic, therapeutic. Now, you know, that's what the whole, now let's talk about, if I slide into the secular, talk about the secular. I remember when I was in school, I wrote poetry, I wrote songs. I wanted to be a songwriter and a musician, but God snatched me up, and I'm glad he did, because had he not snatched me up in the original development of my gifts, I'd probably, you know, be out there using them in the world. But that's what they do all the time. People do that all the time. And just not just the world, but people who self-reflect, their art and their creative part of them is an outlet for their emotions, their feelings, and it's therapeutic. It's a way for them. Your creative ability is a way for you to counsel yourself.
Yes,
that's right. Absolutely.
You know, it's a way for you to counsel yourself. And Janie, when you said that, I said, I heard a book title. See, when you said their inner wounds, and I said called Inner Wounds, I think it's a good book title, Inner Wounds That Cause Outward Rebellion. That right there, Inner Wounds, Outward Rebellion, or Inner Wounds That Cause Outward Rebellion. I think, because that's where, because when you were talking about that, I was like, that right there.
That's good.
That could go. Yes, because
most artists die with what they had inside of them because it's not released. You know, whether it's a natural, you know, in the world or the spirit, most of them don't get out really what's truly inside of them. They just don't. And I think that, you know, someone like yourselves, you know, now is the time. I mean, a preacher is a creator. He's able to affect his words, and he executes them in such a way that individuals are able to either, you know what I'm saying, listen or be engaged or not. So when you hear individuals, I believe that, you know, preach, but they're not really coming across, they just haven't learned how to use their creative gift effectively.
Right. Or sink it and see, this is good. I think in a class, and this is one of the reasons I don't like the school of the prophets. I still haven't found that terminology in the Bible, but that's another conversation. But when we're teaching people in the prophets, right, when we're teaching them, because, I mean, and I'm just, you know what, since we're talking about this, I'm just saying, listen, y'all prophetic, the scripture talks about Naoth at Ramah. That scripture is in there. It talks about sons of the prophets and company of prophets. If you look up the Hebrew words, these are just people who are gathered together. So Jesus had his 12 disciples. They weren't called the company of disciples, and nobody started a school of the disciples or a school of the apostles or the sons of the apostles. No, it was mentioning that these were people in the prophetic. And where we have inserted that there were schools where people were taught the prophetic and taught this, no, the Levites, there were Levites and worshipers, as you guys mentioned, the singers, the musicians, they were all prophetic as well. You can't sing.
Yeah.
You cannot sing and play and not be prophetic, because that is part of the prophet needs that too. Because you're talking about being on time. You know, when you somebody that prophesies using your words, you need to know the timing of the Lord, when to speak, when not to speak.
That's right.
You need to know sync. You need to be able to do all of that. And so I had a, you know, I was just researching that, and I said, I still need, if y'all find something, help me out. But I still don't find a biblical basis for it, and it's done more harm to the church. But I said that because if we're going to teach people, you know, about the prophetic, we have to talk about, there's a disconnect I see in the body where you will have people who are creative, but they fail. Now, this is Calvin, because this is a, I see a whole lot of people fail to connect their creative with their anointing. So too many times when I see people and I'm like, oh my gosh, this brother is talented on the keyboard and they were good. And I looked at, I said, but he got no anointing. And they just look at it, and somebody, I did that in a service. This was a service in Milwaukee. I won't say names, but it was a service and a very powerful speaker came out to speak. Well, world-known international speaker, and it was at the particular church, and the music, they played, the praise team sung a song, and they changed keys two or three times and went up, and the person sitting beside me, and I was like, this is, and they was like, what's wrong? I said, they ain't got no idea. This sounds terrible, because people were listening to notes when I was tuned in to listen to the anointing. See, when you have the anointing, you might play the wrong chord, but that anointing... the way to cover, because the Bible says just like love covers a multitude of sins, the anointing has the ability to do its job, whether your flesh, whether I hit the wrong chord or not, whether whatever I do, if your heart is right. And so all the notes were right, but I was like, they are not a, like, what is this foolishness? They had the right notes, right keys, great voices. But I was like, no anointing. So that's what I mean. And I don't know if y'all want to comment on that, but I wanted to know, what did you think about that? Because for me, I see people and they have a lot of creativity, but they have failed to be humble or get discipled. I guess as Apostle Paul said, you have many instructors, but not many fathers. They fail to get the spirit discipled, so they never learn how to effectively connect their creative or their creativity to their anointing, because now it has the ability of a gift. The Bible may not mention a gift of playing the keyboard, but if you know how to play the keyboard and you're creative and you connect that with your anointing, a talent now has the anointing of a gift. This is why the Bible says there's diversity of operation, because we can literally, I know this is going to sound crazy, but we can literally, well, I'm about to say create new gifts, and I don't want to say create them as in, you know, the motivational gifts, ministry gifts, and the ascension ministry gifts. But with the anointing, go ahead. I'll stop talking.
That's
where
I was going. No, you hit a few different things. And one, you know, with this last thing you just touched on about being discipled, so being trained, being mentored. So a lot of individuals, you know, they have all of these skills and these talents, you know what I'm saying? And they just learn how to do things. I mean, if you practice something long enough, you'll know how to do it. But if you don't take the time out to be discipled, to get a relationship with God, there's not going to be any anointing. Your gift, it will not accomplish that which is sent out to do. It will not deliver. So what's happening is, in just like that event, because I believe I was at that event.
I heard you laughing. I heard somebody laughing. I was like, somebody was there. I was like, I heard somebody laughing.
You know, the individual was, you know, very skillful. But a lot of individuals, especially musicians, and I know you can touch on this, it's just a job for them. So they are exactly, they don't know that they've either been called or they have not been called. It is just a job. And so therefore they're not going to be consumed with the anointing.
That's
and some,
right.
you know, churches, I mean, it's unfortunate that they just need a person to come in and play. And you know what I'm saying? And sometimes they just believe the other areas will cover that piece of it. But again, if they're not partners, the music, the creative, you know what I'm saying, ability, gifts, the creative in the church are not partners in the spirit, you're going to get what you get, you know? It's unfortunate. And for years that's gone on, and it still goes on, you know, now.
Yeah,
get somebody been in the club all night, and then they come play in the church. You know?
Come on, talk about it.
Yeah,
you're
going to get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get Mary J.
Blige,
you know.
Yeah.
And
you wonder why everybody acting crazy in the sanctuary.
Right.
And see,
what's
and
on your
part
instrument.
Of that is the leader, and part of that is the leader. Part of that, and that's
Absolutely.
One of the things for me as a prophet, and I said, because, you know, you got missions. And so one of my
but
things was, I'm a prophet to leaders, but like you said, it's fear. And it is fear. Go ahead. Because, see, that's the leader's issue, where the leader doesn't want to catch that. And the scripture is clear that when an elder is out of line, you rebuke them openly so that others will fear. When you deal with elders or leadership,
that's the authority. Oh my gosh. And I'm trying to be careful because I want to make sure, you know, that's the type of authority that you have been given. You know, every leader, just because they're a leader, doesn't mean they walk in that same grace. And so that's why it's so important for individuals that are ordained or put in position that you have your intercessors, you have individuals that'll see this area, you'll have individuals that understand, you know, how to deal with lust, you'll have individuals, you know, everyone, I believe that all of that, you know, puts together or gives you your fivefold. You have to know where individuals are called to. And just because a person has been pastoring a church, it doesn't mean that they have come into agreement fully with or understand that call. Because even pastors need someone to oversee them and, you know what I'm saying, and mentor them.
Right.
Hold them,
you know,
accountable. That's right.
Exactly, have that accountability. And so some of the individuals, I don't blame regardless, but I'm just saying they haven't gotten to that. And people bring money, people bring tithes, and a lot of people that ain't saved, they're drawn by music. So, you know, there's just some misunderstandings in all of it, you know.
But see, Janie, that's one of the things that I noticed with these pastors. And I say with pastors, I'm talking about, you know, y'all know the deal. I'm talking about in the 15 to 20 years in ministry across the board. One of the trends that I've seen is pastors have no problem rebuking somebody that may be coming late to church, or they came late to Bible study, or they didn't sing in the choir, or something was wrong here, or you know, whether it's a marriage issue or something like that. I was in a church, tell your church right now, this was some years back, but they had no problem rebuking somebody that had issues in their marriage or adultery, but you couldn't rebuke your minister of music. You couldn't rebuke that spirit. And these pastors, and that's the art, because the pastors, they don't want to hit that spirit because they have felt that music is the heart of the church and not the word and not the gospel and not Jesus. They feel they have put music at, they replace Jesus or the message of the gospel, whether they think so or not. This is what a lot of churches have done, and a lot of them don't even know it. They have replaced the necessity of the gospel with a musician. We got to have a musician because people won't come. We got to have a musician because people, I got to have a choir. No, you have to have the gospel. You have to have
that's
the Holy
it.
Ghost.
That's the bottom
all
line.
These guys, that's the
you
bottom
do.
Line. They didn't have no organ when they was out here preaching in Rome. When Paul was up
but
here talking about a God with no name.
Let's just ask them. Do you see a lot of churches that out here functioning, you know, without a musician? They have 10, 20 minutes. That's a big transition, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not, I know it's not right, But I'm
right.
just, you know, I'm just going, we're going to just put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, you used to one thing. I mean, when I was out there on drugs, it was hard for me not to get that hit when I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's you know, I'm not saying it's like a hit, but sometimes music does something to certain people until they get saved and delivered. That music, I mean, come on, it does what it does.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. But see, and I think
the catalyst, yeah,
lining that,
come on,
and I'm with
word.
You on that. And I'm with you on that. And I think the fine line is having the leaders to make sure, if we know this, because I'm going to say, listen, let me tell you, a good musician is hard to find. I'm getting, you know
mm-hmm.
so pastors know that. And so it's good to have an anointed musician. And when you do have an anointed musician, I think we talked about this before. Let's transition into this topic. How do you think pastors or leadership treat their creative ministries versus their deacon board or an elders ministry or usher board or the choir? How do you think between the music ministry and the how? What is the difference in how they treat them? And is it good or is it bad? And do you think it could improve and why?
Well, I'm going to say
and
this before we get into that. You said something before. The pastors know. It's do they know? Do they believe? Is the faith there? So, you know, that opens up a whole lot of other areas.
Mm, yeah.
But now,
mm-hmm.
leave that there. Now, let's go to the deacons and the creation. I think things are in season. So, you know what I'm saying? When you had church years ago, you know, the deacons and, you know, the trustee board, they you know, had jurisdiction or the authority in the church. The church is not like that now. A lot of churches, especially when you deal with the apostolic, you know,
mm-hmm.
leadership and structure is different. So I don't, and creativity now, that takes a different place in a church than, you know, back in the day. So, you know, everything is Facebook and everything is, you know, social media and what captures
mm-hmm.
the eye. So it just all kind of plays a different role right now. Do I think it's more important? No. I think there needs to be balance. What you say?
You know, I would, I'm sorry, if I didn't know if you were talking to me, prophetess, or if you were talking
yes,
to
I was.
Prophet. Okay. You know, I definitely concur with what you're saying. And also, one thing that I've noticed with, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, like the pastor or the leadership not really realizing or staying
mm-hmm.
true to the vision that God gave him for that house. And so
mm-hmm.
then you have that breakdown going on in all the auxiliaries. And so
mm-hmm.
I remember one ministry that I played for years ago. I was in college at the time. One thing I appreciated about that ministry was the pastor met with the musicians faithfully. And he would tell you, I can't play nothing. But he said, but this is the vision for the house, and this is how it's going to go. And what I did
That's
appreciate and respected, he said to all the musicians, because he had his main musicians, who was they didn't call him music pastor, but the minister of music. He had him. And he had another guy, which was the assistant to the minister of music. They were the main
mm-hmm.
two musicians for this church. But all these other musicians that were coming in, because we were all college students, so you had college students that were coming in from the city and you name it, everywhere. And these students were very good. They were minister of music in their own churches prior coming to school. But he did not allow any of all these skillful musicians to get on the instruments. He did not allow them to come in over at the people he had set in that house. What he would do with us, he would say, y'all, I need y'all to help me train up the children in our children's church. You cannot play for the grown-up church unless you play for the children's church. And the look on some of those musicians that were like, well, I was playing, I'm the main musician at my church. The look on their faces
mm-hmm.
was kind of like, what? But it was like, no, I need you to go and pour into these children. So what would happen is we were on a rotation. So I would play in a children's church. It would be a little kid sitting next to me, another musician that was from college would be on the bass, a little kid was sitting next to them. Another musician that was in college was on the drums. Another kid was sitting next to them. And the kids knew they had to watch us, watch how we conducted ourselves on the instrument, watch how we selected the music. Also, we were at the children's rehearsals teaching them. And then during the service, sometimes I would slide off the piano, the little kid come up and play behind me, and I slide back on. And so I love that because, for one, we were giving back in the ministry. Two, the ministry was always developing other musicians, so the house was never in need of a musician. And they were learning how to be trained. And so it was an awesome flow, you know, with that. And I was just like, this is so awesome. I was like, oh, I love it here, you know, because that was the coolest thing, because I was like, this is order, you know, as well as the dancers. They had dancers who had grew up and people had came in and trained them, and then they had dancers that were coming from different places because they were in school. Like, oh, I did dance in my church. Okay, well, you got to learn here. You got to start with the children. This is how you transition into the adult, and it flowed very nicely. That department at that church, as far as the creatives and the other auxiliaries, that was the order. Everybody knew their place. There wasn't nobody trying to go over nobody's head.
Come on.
You know, and it worked really, really well. And I loved that model because I was like, we knew what we had to do. We knew how much we were getting paid. He would tell us, this is the budget that we have, and this is what you're going to get your honorarium for playing for this Sunday. It was, period. Right. It was no negotiation. Well, I got this. And I got that. It was like, either this is what you're going to play, take it or leave it, or you can leave it. Go about your business. We love you, but it's going to be a good place for you to be here. You're going to learn prayer and intercession. You're going to help when we do the shut-in ministry. You're going to help with this. We're going to go do SWAT. It was an awesome thing there. And so then you have other places where you got the leadership don't know what they want to do with the music, or they don't know what they want to do with this auxiliary, and then you're trying to find your way in and things of the sort like that. And it gets chaotic and interesting.
See,
those are the words
the
that I can put.
In, but that's how the enemy
that's
comes
exactly
in.
How
the head,
exactly.
When the head does not know and when the head is not together, and this because these spirits come in and say, oh, I can come over here and be the minister of music, because they ain't got no minister of music and they out of order. And that pastor, I know so-and-so, and they ain't been rebuked because they ain't living right. They was with the club with me. So I know I can come over here and do what I need to do over here. And just be good. They go back to gigging, hireling, get that money, come in and come out.
That's
so,
it, hireling.
You said something.
A lot of that too.
Well, that's what I'm about to get to with this question. I'm going to open the floor up for this question too. And I think, Sharima, you just did a nice intro or foundation to this question. I wanted to talk, because when I was in here writing my book, I did a whole section on this. This is a couple of nights ago. I was just in here writing. But on the necessity, I was talking about the profit, and I was talking about the necessity of education, but it kind of tucked into, led into discipline. Discipline. When you talk about being educated, at the bottom, it's just discipline. So what do you feel? Because this is Calvin. I don't like, you can't be a deaf and dumb prophet. And when I say that, you understand what I'm saying? You can't be a prophetic individual and you're deaf. That means you can't hear from the spirit. Something's wrong. And you can't be, you know, dumb either. You have to be able to prophesy and speak and open up your mouth. But you can't be sent to nations and you don't know what to do. God used Egypt to train Moses formally because he knew Moses would have to stand in front of governors, nations. Moses had a job to do. He had to deal with a head of state directly. So, and I'm saying this because I don't want to focus on education, because I believe in education. I have a few degrees. I love education. So nobody's going to deceive me into thinking that education is not important. However, when it comes to ministry, you know, God uses whoever he wants to use, whoever will submit to it. But can you talk about the, where does discipline, the ability of an individual to be disciplined and to be really disciplined, what does that play in their ability to culture their craft, their talent, in their ability to hear God, and their ability to do what you did, you know, tying in? If you weren't disciplined, you wouldn't have been able to plug in. you know, you could have got an attitude. I used to do this. I was a, you know, if a college kid is coming in, what is the role of being a disciplined one? Just, I call a disciple, when they say disciplined one, the disciple. What is the role of being, or applying discipline in your life to education, to humility? The role of discipline in
the
prophetic, and I'm doing it too, in the prophetic, the music, the dance, because, and y'all correct me, if you're a musician, I know, you know, nothing's worse than a musician that don't want to practice. I never had piano lessons, and my piano teacher got on my nerves, but bless her heart, but she taught me how to do some stuff, but you had to practice. I had an attitude because I would come to class, and she would hold me accountable to something. And here I am with an attitude because I know I didn't practice. So how are you not going to practice if you have a discipline and then want to get on the teacher about it? And then I'm assuming the same thing with the dance, because you have to train these guys. So what's the role of discipline when it's applied to the prophetic as well as the individual crafts?
Well, definitely the discipline, like you said, it plays a key role. As you said, when your teacher knew every time you didn't practice. I go through that with my students on a weekly basis that I train now, you know, vocally, and the ones that I train on piano. I myself did the same thing. And it's funny, during those times when I'm talking to them, I'll say, don't answer. You're going to tell me this. Oh, I couldn't do it this week because I had so much I had to do. Oh, I had to do this. There's always an excuse. But in order for you to be good, and you say you want to do this, and you tell me all the people you want to be like, it takes practice. You know, going after and you know, getting educated in it, is that's what it's all about. You know, when I look at the scripture and it's tell us to be skillful or study to show thyself approved, I believe that does not just only apply to the word, but that applies to everything that we do in our life, to be pleasing to God in that respect. And so, you know, if I'm going to be a musician, this is my mentality when I was little. If I'm going to be a musician, then I got to study. I got to get and be skillful. I got to learn how to do it. One thing that impacted me, my mother let me see this gospel musician. I was about 9 years old. His name is Dino, plays beautiful classical.
Dino.
He used to play a lot of Andre Crouch. Yes. You know who I'm talking about?
I do. That dude gets on the keyboard and on that piano, playing you under
a church.
Dino,
and
yes.
I remember seeing him at 9, and he it's so funny. He came up here to Christ Community Church, which is in Zion, and out where I teach lessons, you know, through the conservatory. It's so funny because it's bringing me back full circle. And I remember he played all these beautiful tunes, and, of course, he has his renditions of Andre Crouch music that is absolutely phenomenal and gorgeous. And so he played his music, and I'm sitting there, bright-eyed little girl in the audience. Me and my mother, the only two African-Americans in the whole church at that time, maybe two other people. But we sitting there, we watching this. And so I'm like, this is awesome. And this is all I'm saying the whole time. This is awesome. So then he opened it up for questions and answers at the end. And so he says, somebody says, well, how many hours you practice a day? And he said, I practice 6 hours every day faithfully. And my mouth flew open. And my mother said, did you hear that?
I know she was loving it.
Did you hear that?
Right.
She said, them 30 minutes that you trying to run from, he practiced 6 hours. So what you going to do? And so I was thinking, wow, in order for me to play like that, I got to practice 6 hours a day. Now, at the time, 6 hours a day for a little kid that's 9, you know that was not going to happen. But it did inspire me to be more diligent as far as, okay, taking the initiative on my own. I said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to practice today. I'm going to do this. And so that's what it takes for the musicians, you know, and singers. You can't just pick this up at your convenience. If you are a worshiper, you are a praiser, you're a praise and worship leader, you're a singer, you're a dancer, you don't just pick it up when it's convenient. This is your lifestyle. That means you're doing it all the time. You know, when you're in prayer, like in the morning when I wake up, the first thing I'm doing, I'm in worship, you know, throughout the day,
we were talking about this last time. You said, well, how can I do it? And I got all these different things. You can find those quiet moments when you can be in worship. I'm singing throughout the day. I'm like, Lord, what song is that you're playing in my head? Do I need to run to the keyboard? And if I can't get to the keyboard, I keep my phone with me, and I'm singing into the phone. I'm recording something, because that's just the lifestyle that comes with it. So that's my take on it. I hope that I answered it or tried to touch on some of the things that you're talking about.
But definitely. Yeah, because when you talk about, you know, being disciplined in something, you know, even for preachers, you know, for the preacher, they need to be disciplined. How much do you study? Like, I get in conversations sometimes with preachers, and some people, you know, they have, you know, they got a degree, they do this or whatever, or some of these guys that are big, but I don't talk on certain subjects because I'm like, you're talking about a subject and you hold a degree that should say that you know more than what you're talking about, but it's clear that you don't. So we're going back again to training. Everybody can have a degree, but it's the mindset and mentality of the individual going into that. How did you get your training? What was your mentality? How did you maintain it? What did you, you know, get from it? The mentality of an individual. But when someone has a mentality that, you know, I need to be disciplined at this, and just it will equal success for them. Because when you have a mentality of discipline, discipline makes you do things even when you don't want to do it. You learn how to your flesh out of the way. Like, I got up the other day, I don't know about y'all in the gym, but I'm trying to shape and reshape my body here. And I got up one day and I'm like, you know, because I go to the gym for about an hour and a half, and I got my workout, and I got up and got all of my little gym clothes on. I was like, you know what, I don't feel like going to the gym today. I said, I don't feel like this. And then I immediately told myself, I said, I stopped. I said, you are going to the gym, and you're going to exercise because this is your goal. And how you feel has nothing to do with what you're trying to get to. So I just made myself go. It was getting out the flesh to be able to do that. So awesome. So I think Janie had to go. So for the listeners, Janie, I believe, had to bow out. And we just want to thank Janie for being here. We're about to close up ourselves. But I want to thank Janie for being here. I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and then we'll just close out. But I want to thank her for being here. I hope I know you enjoyed her.
Yes.
I know I did.
I love her. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I love her. Yes.
In the Lord. So we're going to take this break and then come back and close up the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm Young Calvin Ward, and we've been talking prophetic ministry, music, and the dance. I want to thank Prophet Janie Boston for coming on out here. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. Y'all, the number is 563-999-3721. 563-999-3721. And you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back. Rima, we are back, and I want to close this up. I want to thank you. I think this was so fitting to close up. I can call it a series because I didn't know when it was going to end. We just kept doing them and doing them. I don't know if this has been, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Or we just been doing
I think we took a week off,
Yeah, okay. So this is a fitting, you know, close to this direction here, I guess, talking about, you know, music ministry, talking about the prophetic, how the prophetic is intertwined with music ministry, talking about leadership role in being in sync with music ministry, having a vision for music ministry, and not only that, and then but the dance, because tonight probably Boston came on and was telling us a little bit about the dance. I'm so glad she got to chime in. I have to have her back. I have to have her back to talk a little bit more about that, because I think that's something that needs to be heard. But I think these have been some good sessions. So if you're tuned in and listen, Listen, we had Sharima on here for the past 2 or 3 weeks. You'll find these sessions, and it's almost like being in class. You get to take part in her expertise and experience as we talk about, you know, being a musician, being a psalmist, a minstrel, being, you know, in the ministry, some of the problems you encounter, dealing with leadership, and almost some of the situations. I tell people when they hear people talk, they're almost like case studies. So some of the situations, I call them case studies. They're like case studies. You can compare and say, oh, well, this happened, you know, when so-and-so did that. And, you know, when someone's telling you a story and then they give you, this is what happened with me, this is how I did that, and then they go through it and say, these were pros and cons, good stuff, bad stuff, shouldn't happen. You know, that's like a case study you can learn from so you won't have to repeat it. So this has just been, this has just been awesome. This has just been awesome. Did you have any last words that they say, huh? Did you have anything you wanted to say or just close out with? Because this has been a powerful couple of weeks. I think there need to be more praise and worship. I think from, not from this, but some praise and worship conferences on Zoom or on Skype or whatever. I think that is something that people can do to impart information, you know, and it's something, you may be a minister of music somewhere. Maybe you can do something like that to impart to your people. And if they're listening, you know, bring somebody like Sharima out to your people or Zoom, you know, because now with this corona, we have to switch what we're doing, you know, and bring people, have a Zoom conference and bring, you know, bring somebody out to speak and to share information. But is there anything that you wanted to say or put out? We're closing this topic for the podcast.
Well, Prophet, I thank you truly for just allowing me to come on. This has truly been a blessing just to be able to have this conversation and discussion with you and also Prophetess Jamie, who came on tonight. Truly, not only was I able to share, but I've learned and gained even more knowledge because I live by always remain teachable. And so, you know, I was able to learn a lot as well. So this has just been an awesome time in the Lord, you know. Definitely, as my husband, he says it a lot, iron sharpens iron. We know that's in the word, too. Mm. And so, you know, we were able to come together and have these discussions and just be able just to just speak these words. We know God is glorified and also that, people, I know that people were blessed. I had a few students of mine who were voice students who sent me messages and said they were tremendously blessed by the information that they shared, that we shared, and they learned a lot as well. So it's definitely needed. And I kept saying that I was going to get these worship books to you. So I finally got the titles, if I can run them by you real quick.
Sure, that'll be a fitting to close. Yes, the titles of the book. I did see when you
attempt
them. I'm glad you said that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, when it deals with worship, praise and worship, the most important book is the Holy Bible. Of course, we know that. Books that I've also read it and not read thoroughly all the way through, but I've read excerpts from them, and I have them in my library of books, and I go to them from time to time, is Audience of One. That's an awesome book by Jeremy and Kiney Sinnott. And I believe it's S-I-N-N-O-T-T is the way you spell their last name. The Heart of Worship Files by Matt Redman. That's a good one. He also has another one I forgot to put on the list that I sent you down. That's a real good one by Matt Redman. Beyond the Veil by Alex Smith. Here, I want to name three of my favorite books that I always use. They're like my Bible to me. The Psalmist Anointing. That's by Tom Bynum. The Shenaniah, Master of Song, that's by Tom Bynum. The Anointing of the Minstrel by Tom Bynum. Those three books, especially the Psalmist Anointing, I was able to acquire in college. Someone let me use that in college, and I found it and have kept it. And then I also had got rid of it, or not got rid of it, somebody borrowed it and didn't give it back. So when I was able to share that title with someone and they were able to find it online. Now, I believe those books are out of print, but if you search hard, I'm quite sure you might be able to find them, Tom Bynum books. But those three right there, I think a musician that's definitely wants to be anointed or is anointed, they should have that in their library. The Psalmist Anointing, the Shananiah Master of Song, that's one title, and then The Anointing of the Minstrel by Tom Bynum. Also, some other books are Born to Create by Teresa Dedman, The Lost of Pure Worship, that's James W. Gold and Chris Dupree. Exploring Worship, This is one of my favorite books right now. A Practical Guide to Praise and Worship, that's by Bob Sorge. Prophetic Song, it's by a lady named Vivian Hibbert. She is phenomenal. She's actually did a conference today with the conference organization that's for creatives that I'm a part of. It's called Caritas, and she did an online Zoom today, and I was unable to catch it because I had a doctor's appointment. But Vivian Hibbert, she has a whole lot of worship books. She is phenomenal. She has a very thick Australian or like New Zealand accent. She's phenomenal. The woman is anointed. She has some awesome books. A Deeper Level, of course, by Israel Houghton, as his last name is, Into His Presence. That's a great book just to have. Mm. It's by Dr. Frank J. Sizer. Have you heard about that book, Prophet?
I have not. Into His Presence?
That book, yes. That book is about, I believe he was a Catholic priest, and he kept saying, it's got to be something deeper. There's got to be something deeper when it comes to God. I need the supernatural spirit experience to happen. And he kept inquiring the Lord about it, and God laid him out one day. And he experienced the Holy Spirit and the fire of God surge through his body. It's an awesome book because in that book it talks about the inner court, the outer court. It talks about all of that. So as a worshiper, worship leader, psalmist, that's a great book to read and study in, is Into His Presence. And also another book that I really love is 40 Days with the Holy Spirit, and that's by R.T. Kendall. He also has, I think, Holy Fire, and he has a whole lot of other books. But those books right there are some great books just to have when it deals with praise and worship and just worship. And also one of the famous books now, it's been out for a while, Jesus Calling. That's another one for daily devotion. Yep. And then I got to pull up the book that you blessed my husband and myself with. And I love this book, The Book of Mysteries, Jonathan Kahn. That's a good book, too. You said yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good book.
That is such a good book. Such a good book. And even though it's not directly to praise and worship, what I love is that the walk, the times in the book, how it was describing, okay, I'm walking with God today and this is what he's saying. And that for a praise and worshiper is needed. You need to be able to know how to hear his voice as you're walking with him and being, like Prophet Jamie said earlier, and yourself, being sensitive to hear his voice. And so that's a good book, The Book of Mysteries, because it talks of different scenarios in there, which I do love about that. So, but definitely. So I hope that helps some listeners when they're thinking about worship books and what to find if they don't have them. Those are some great ones to look at.
Awesome. And I want to thank you for that. So if you did not hear, she just listed a list of books for you. So you can download this episode. You can get it in MP3. You can play it back and get a list, or you can email or contact me. Do you open up for people to contact you on Facebook or
Yes, they can. If they want to contact me on Facebook, I'm on Facebook under my name, Sharima Hannibal. They can. Some people even contact my husband, Curtis Hannibal. I'm also on Instagram. On Instagram, it's under Riri's Melody. My nickname is Riri, and my daughter's middle name is Melody. So it's Riri's Melody. So RiriesMelody.
Okay. Let me get you that on IG. And a lot of people didn't know. I found out last year. I was a little slow. But I didn't know that you could, like, send people messages on IG and, like, have a conversation. I just thought it was, like, some for advertising and you could send messages. But I didn't know you can actually, like, inbox people on IG until about last year. I was like, oh, because I really didn't do IG. until I started sliding into some more of the social media platforms. And I was like, oh, so you can do that. So awesome. So people can reach you on Facebook. And you spell your name S-C-H-A-R-E-M-A, right? Sharima, okay.
Yes.
And then Hannibal with two N, H-A-N-N-I-B-A-L.
Yep, V as in ball, because sometimes people say V as in Victor. And I'm like, yeah, I am victorious, but it's V as in ball.
I'm victorious, but it's V as in ball. And I think that's going to be, you know, it's really where I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to close out in prayer real quick, and we're going to call it the show. I want to make sure. Give me 1 minute. Let me take a quick pause. I want to make sure we don't have anybody online that needs prayer. Let me take this quick pause, Sharima, real quick, and then
no problem.
We'll come back. I want to make sure because I see numbers on. Guys, let me take a quick break, and I will come right back.
Yes, it is that time again, you guys. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin, always bringing you excellence in the prophetic. I want you to stay tuned. We have some great things for you on today. I want you to invite a friend out to listen to the radio broadcast. Look, you can send them a link, y'all. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we're always bringing you some fresh revelations, some fresh word, and some fresh topics. So, stay tuned, sit back, and relax. Don't forget to text or email a friend, post on Facebook. And again, you are tuned into the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast.
Well, let's close out. I want to close out in prayer. Did you have anything else, Rima? Because this has been awesome. I just want to thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for talking and sharing, taking your time. Because this is a lot of information, and I'm just so elated because a lot of the youth, a lot of people who are in ministry positions, some people were thrust into music ministry or thrust into positions. And so getting some of this wisdom and some of this information is very, I mean, it's just powerful. And the people just listen and process it, download these past 3 weeks and just listen to it and take some of those nuggets and take some notes, I think it could be very helpful.
It definitely, definitely, Prophet, it definitely be helpful. I thank you again, and as you said, and I forgot to just encourage the people, those who may not have had any training, please welcome the training. Don't be afraid of the training. You know, you want to get trained from the right person that's anointed, though. I do have to put that disclaimer in there. But don't be afraid of it. It is needed. You'll watch the ministry, and even your ministry, but also the ministry that you may be a part of, go to another level. So it's important that we do that and always remain teachable. But I thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a blast. I've had so much fun. I told my husband, I said, you know, I didn't know that I knew as much as I did until I started talking about it. Because, you know, sometimes you're not in a position where you can release it. So
it's
been awesome just to be able to share and to say, hey, I went through this or this is what happened, and I was even inspired by this or that or X, Y, and Z. But even everything that you shared, you tickled me with the situations that you had spoke of. I'm like, wow, okay, I can relate to that because I was in something similar like that. So, you know, it's something. So I know that we both were able to relate. So I know, therefore, those who were listening were able to relate as well. So thanks again, and I truly appreciate you having me on again. So I look forward to us fellowshipping again via blog or anywhere. However, you know,
yes.
My family, we love you, and we look forward to that.
Likewise. Love you guys, too. And I wanted to put this out here, too. Can anybody, if there's somebody, because I don't know if you teach online or just through the conservatory, do you prefer? You want people, if people have questions about things like that, you want them to contact you on Facebook and IG, correct? If they are interested,
they can
have any music questions or
most definitely,
anything
they
like
can
that.
Contact me directly through Facebook.
Okay.
Also, they can contact me through my Gmail as well. That would be sharima.hannibal@gmail.com, and that's S-C-H-A-R-E-M-A dot Hannibal, H-A-N-N-I-B-A-L, at gmail.com. I can be that way. Because I do private lessons through the conservatory, but I also do Zoom lessons, too. And I do that outside of the conservatory as well. So if people want to just do, I have some students that will sign up for just three lessons, three sessions, and say, hey, I'm working on the song. I need some help. Can you work with me for three weeks? No problem. You know, and so I'm available to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, awesome. Well, people have heard it. You guys have heard it. I'm hoping people need to get you for praise and worship conferences, music. They need to get you for everything, lecturer. I mean, all of that. This was powerful. And so, again, glad you were on. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the show. I thank you for Sharima. Thank you for Providence. I thank you for us being here and being able to come together to talk about the prophetic, to talk about worship and dance in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the revelation that was shared and the words that were shared, the wisdom and the knowledge that was shared. I pray that it sinks into people's hearts and their minds. I pray that somebody's life was changed and augmented for the better in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we pray, and I pray for Sharima that you continue to multiply her gift, continue to open up doors for her, God. Multiply her gift, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and allow her to impart to a generation, Father God, and impart and to build up other fellow musicians and people in the arts coming up, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
God.
So it's in Jesus' name that we just come together and pray and agree. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing Jesus a prayer there. Again, thank you. I'm about to tune out. Thank you for being on, Sharima. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Father. God bless you.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, where I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in. Listen, find me on Facebook at Prophet Calvin D. Ward. Go to the YouTube channel, and don't forget to go to Amazon.com to buy my new book, Metaphysics and Theology, A Discussion. Y'all, don't forget to invite someone to the next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time.